Brendel pulled her close, noticing her body heat was already starting to drop, even as the spool wound tighter, hauling them back towards the replicate. He could feel the cold of space already attacking the exposed flesh of his body, the chill of it burning in a way he had not expected. Anki pulled her head away to look at him, the cloud of black hair wrapping around the lower half of her face. He looked into those eyes, the cold freezing her tears as they formed, and breaking away with each blink. The look she gave him said a thousand things at once, none of them even having to be uttered by her tongue. He craved to hear those words, brought to life by her voice and the smooth, soft texture of perfect lips. He knew then, more than at any other time, that he loved her. But even such love couldn't keep his eyes open as his body faded and his heart stopped beating. Chapter 27 Anki. The weight of losing her homeworld felt heavy on Anki's chest. She had no more than succumbed to a ray of hope of saving Luthia before it was dashed away by the war the Telran carried with it. What made her think she had the chance to stop an empire? Her thoughts were all the more clouded by the fact an enemy of her people was seated next to her, so close their skin radiated heat off each other. The fact she hadn't slit his throat and watched him bleed out before her eyes would be hard to explain to any superiors in the Luthian Navy. But alas, none of Luthia existed anymore. Now the burden of her seeming betrayal was hers alone to carry, and she was already weary of it. She didn't have the heart to carry out such an act of violence, though. If anything, she was grateful for Brendel. He was an unlikely hero. As hard as it was to draw that conclusion, knowing what little she knew of him. The fact that he was aggression had been an enormous thing for her to overcome. Yet it seemed that fact was what allowed them to survive. It was ironic when she thought about it. When thoughts of Luthia erupting in flames didn't fill her mind with horror. In the cargo bay, where Brendel had brought her to talk, she sat emotionless. She knew something was on his mind. Perhaps his own betrayal was heavy on his mind. There was a lot of that going around lately. She assumed it might be an apology for how he reacted on the bridge, ordering the others around, ordering her around in order to gain access to the ship. She could hardly blame him for wanting to take control of the situation, to save his own life. The fact that he saved her and the rest of the ragtag crew of the replicade might have been a happy accident. But she knew, looking into his eyes, that it was more than that. It was that knowledge that scared her. Trapped in her own thoughts, a misery of sorts, Brendel interrupted with a hushed question. "Do you believe in the gods? Or a god?" She was put off slightly by how he could think of a deity at a time like this. She felt indignation well up inside of her before she even answered. "No. I don't have much reason to believe, though. If any kind of god exists, then why wouldn't they save my people?" It was a simple enough explanation for the tears she fought to hide. She didn't wish to share her emotional turmoil with someone who knew who killed her world. Every time she thought of her world, she only saw her father's face. It wasn't that Luthia died. It was that she would never see him again or hear his voice. If there was a god, then she knew whose fault it was that Luthia was no more. The Grushin Empire was a good scapegoat for the blame, but whatever sentient being allowed that empire to rise was also to blame.
What about love?
He asked. She felt him looking at her expectantly. The pause lasted a moment longer before he rephrased the question.
What about the concept of forever belonging to someone else?
Suddenly more uncomfortable with where the conversation was going, she wrapped her arms around herself. She wanted to be somewhere safe. Not from the war, but from the feelings welling up inside her chest. It was fear and sadness, but it was also something else.
I don't know,
she answered, frustration filling the space between the two of them.
Why do you ask me such things?
She asked, her voice rising. She wanted nothing more than to blame everything on the man sitting next to her. It would be so easy to take all her anger and pain out on him. But each time the thought crossed her mind, she could see something in his eyes. Something that drew her towards being compassionate. She hated it.
I'm sorry,
she said. Regret painted her voice in a way she didn't like, but it was appropriate, she thought.
No, I'm sorry, Brendel said.
An explosion behind her cut him off. Anki turned and ran towards the damaged hull next to the cargo bay door. She didn't know what to do, but knew something, anything had to be done to save the ship.
I just wanted to tell you I want to be your forever, he finished.
His words were unsettling in a way that made her think they were the ones she had wanted to hear all along.
Anki looked at Brendel.
The rush of atmosphere escaping the replicate behind her. She watched the movement of his throat as he swallowed hard, nervous that he said the wrong thing when it had been the right thing all along. She wanted to respond, to give in to the moment and disregard the danger lurking behind her. Her eyes widened as they met his again. She licked her lips as she prepared her response. And then she was ripped out of the cargo bay and thrust into the dark, her eyes watching Brendel as he looked at her in horror. The involuntary muscles in her body caused Anki to try to breathe, but there was no oxygen to be savored by her lungs. Each attempt exhaled more stale air from her lungs until the pain in her chest rose, forcing her to gasp harder. The frigid vacuum of space engulfed her, and every part of her body reacted to it in kind. She tried to cry out from the pain, but with no air and nowhere for the sound to travel, she was met with only the silent scream of desperation. Ice began to form over her eyes as tears forced their way from her tear ducts. Each blink broke off more bits of ice, and she watched as the tiny flecks of frozen tears departed her bodily vessel and reached out towards unknown places. Her eyes also saw Brendel jumping out for her. She would have thought he was an idiot, but the desperation of being starved of oxygen wasn't letting her think clearly. Instead, she watched him descend on her like a silent predator, as the replicade faded behind him, her vision narrowing on his eyes. Time was meaningless as she waited for him to reach her. It could have been mere seconds, but it felt like so much more as ragged gasps tormented her lungs with the pains of desperation. When he finally caught her, she felt warmth like the sun. And then that warmth began to drizzle into the frigidness she had grown accustomed to.
This is what it's like to die,
she thought as Brendel pulled her close. Anki felt their outward drift lurch to a stop, but she couldn't understand what was happening. She could only assume it was Brendel's doing. She looked into his eyes, as he looked into hers.
her black hair tickling his cooling flesh as if they were underwater. The gentle pull of the replicade took her attention for a moment, but nothing more. She hoped for salvation, to breathe again. But even hope felt out of reach as the dark fingers of space tugged at her soul. Anki looked at the man who had risked his life for her more than once. He wore the face of the people who had destroyed her world. But he was as much a part of her world as anyone else now. His selflessness showed her what kind of a man he was under his Greshen skin. He was the kind of man her father was. Their blood might be different, but their hearts were molded by the same kind of compassion. She could see it now, as his last words echoed in her mind. The only sound in vacuum was the sound of forever. Their eyes met with longing, the need to live and to say what the other was thinking, because it was important to both of them now. And then the darkness took them. Chapter 28. Brendel.
We are broken people from severely broken worlds, Brendel thought as he stood at the foot of Anki's bed in the medical bay.
She had been torn from the ship so quickly that he didn't have time to do anything but react. He had saved her, held her close until they could be reeled in. It was an idiotic move, but one which proved fruitful because here he stood, watching her sleep off the effects of medically induced slumber. Her body heat was restored, and any tissue damage she had experienced was on the mend. He was thankful for that much, at least. But even with the good news of her being able to pull through, he was conflicted. He cherished the fact that he had done the right thing for the right reason. But he had a gnawing feeling that the wool was about to be pulled from his eyes, and everything he thought was about to be revealed as fantasy. If he was truthful with himself, he could say he thought he might love her. But thinking it made him question it. Wouldn't questioning it mean there were feelings, though? He tried not to think about it too much, but it was all he thought about. Even with his internal conflict, he had a lot to be thankful for. His life was preserved due to the swift actions of Malakia and Dace. Had they not responded to the breached hull and reeled Brendel and Anki in, then there would be a very different outcome right now. It was a chilling thought as it reminded him of the cold of the dark as it crept over his skin. He felt what it would be like to freeze to death and suffocate at the same time. It was a realization that he thought might haunt him in the days to come. Luckily, his exposure had been minimal. Anki, on the other hand, had been exposed longer, and needed to be carried to the medical bay for resuscitation. It had been a harrowing experience, to say the least.
"How is she?" Malakia asked as he stepped into the medical bay, pulling Brendel from his thoughts.
He had changed clothes. Gone were the robes of his religious attire, and now he was dressed in coveralls, not unlike the ones Brendel's previous shipmates wore on the Telran. There were no name tags on these coveralls, though, so he doubted they were military uniforms.
"She's sleeping off the effects right now, but according to the medical chart, she's going to pull through," Brendel answered. "How is Dace holding up?"
"He is doing much better now. He's mending the breach in the airlock with a temporary patch. Luckily, it's the kind of work he grew up doing. But he thinks it's best to port for a permanent repair at our earliest convenience. Of course, the cargo bay will be secured until we find a more permanent solution," he said,
his eyes on Anki for a moment before looking up to Brendel.
"Thank you for saving him," Malekia said as he placed his hand on Brendel's shoulder. Brendel looked at him. Their eyes locked onto each other, and Brendel realized the man was sincere.
"If not for me, then he wouldn't have been hurt in the first place." It was the truth, no matter how much he wished it wasn't. Malekia smiled and rubbed Brendel's shoulder before placing his hand back in his pocket.
"That might be true, but another truth is that without you, we would all be dead. You did a brave thing, and I think Dace would agree that a bump on the head is a small price to pay for living another day. I think she would agree as well,"
he said, nodding towards Anki, her shallow breaths causing her chest to rise and fall. Brendel smiled at a thought.
"I'm sorry for pulling my gun on you," he said, the hopeful smile still etched on his face.
He liked Malekia, despite what his previous actions may have indicated, and he thought Malekia might feel the same way towards him.
Escaping the Telran was a tricky situation, and add to that the fact that no one on board knew one another or built trust in one another made things more difficult than they would have been otherwise. Brendel just hoped the process of building a friendship was fully intact, now that the heat of the moment had passed. It was a safe bet, considering Malekia had been the one to reel them back onto the replicate and secure the airlock. Brendel felt he owed him his life, and had said so when they brought an unconscious Anki into the medbay. Malekia had brushed it off, but it was a debt Brendel fully expected to pay back.
Malekia laughed and nudged Brendel with his elbow. "I think I might have had that coming. It's not every day I attack someone, so please forgive me as well."
His smile matched Brendel's as they both laughed. It was easier to be at peace with the past now that they were out of danger but still remembering. It vividly played on Brendel's mind in a way that made him question whether or not he was the kind of man he wanted to be, or if he was the kind of man the Greshans expected him to be. He would have shot Malekia had things progressed towards that necessity, but he was thankful they hadn't.
"Why don't you boys just kiss already?"
Anki said, wincing as she opened her eyes. The color had returned to her cheeks. Brendel stepped close to her, wanting to reach for her hand, but he pulled back.
"How are you?" he asked.
He craned over to read the medical chart, but it was all gibberish to him.
"As long as it isn't beeping to an alarm and flashing, then I won't go into panic mode."
Anki tried to sit up, but it was hard trying to do so when she had one hand trying to block the light shining in her eyes.
"I'd be doing better if you could turn down the lights," she groaned.
Malekia moved over to dim the lights.
"The medical cart must have dilated her eyes. Dace had the same issue when he came to. It will pass soon, though."
The lights faded to a more comfortable level as Anki sat upright on the medical cart.
"Thank you,"
Anki said. She was finally looking comfortable, or as comfortable as the medical cart allowed.
"I kind of owed you for not killing me when you had the chance. Thank you for that,"
he said. Brendel's hand touched hers. It was a delicate touch, but one to let her know he was there. She didn't move her hand, which was a good sign in his eyes. She looked at him, and their eyes met, his emerald eyes getting lost in her dark amber eyes. He was mesmerized by her, lost in a sea of her beauty. But it was temporary.
"Where do we go next?" Malekia asked, ruining the moment Brendel had lost himself in.
He reluctantly pulled his hand away and looked at Malekia. I don't know. I guess that depends on you and Dace. It's your ship, Brendel replied.
You are a much more proficient pilot than either of us. Surely you have the skill set worthy to captain this vessel.
Malekia wasn't smiling when he said this, which prodded Brendel with a reluctant question.
You would have aggression captain your ship?
It was a reasonable question in Brendel's eyes. Gresha wasn't held in much esteem with the other sectors, even the ones which claimed loyalty to Gresha. Sometimes politics swayed in the direction that kept you alive, at least for some worlds. Others apparently didn't get the memo. Malekia looked him in the eye, no humor in his gaze at all.
Brendel, your action showed us that you are no more aggression than any of us are. You may have been born on Gresha, but your exile proceeds where your heart truly lies. For all our faults and distrust when we first met you, there's none with our decision to grant you the title of Captain of the Replicate, if you are willing to accept it. It is our ship, and we want to count you amongst us, he said, nodding to Anki, who he seemed to consider part of the crew as well.
Brendel was taken aback. There was so much flooding his mind all at once that it was hard to process. I don't know what to say, Brendel stammered. He looked at Anki, who was smiling back at him. Do you agree to this?
He didn't know why he asked the question out loud, but his heart knew he wanted her acceptance, whatever that might look like.
Anki nodded. I do.
It was something we discussed while you were getting us through Key Lorna. We would have asked you earlier, but we've all been kind of busy lately. She laughed, and it warmed his heart.
If that's something you all agree on, then I accept, he said, grinning from ear to ear.
He had to admit there was a thrill to piloting such an agile war vessel, though he hoped any kind of warring would be in the past. He had no desire to pull a trigger on someone else ever again.
We are glad to hear it, Captain, Malekia said, extending his hand to Brendel.
Brendel took it and pulled the other man into an embrace.
Thank you. But please, don't call me Captain. With a crew this small, I don't think rank is really going to mean anything.
Malekia and Anki laughed.
Whatever you say, Captain.
Malekia nudged him, smiling. Brendel ran his hand through his hair sheepishly.
This is one crazy day, he thought. Well, I guess I have a lot of captain things to do. Maybe I can start by fixing the damage Anki here made with the interface in case we need the autopilot to save our asses or something, Brendel joked.
She smiled at the joke. Another good sign in his eyes.
I'll come back and check on you soon, he said, leaning over to Anki, the thought of kissing her burning in his mind. Her eyes grew wide, but she didn't say no. Something like electricity was charging between them, but it was all in his mind and he knew it. Why am I afraid? He asked himself.
He took her hand and squeezed it instead. It was the safest move, but far from the one he felt inclined to do. He smiled at her, and she smiled back. That was where he hoped she knew how he was beginning to feel about her. But he was too confused to have the courage to leap just yet.
Soon, he told himself. Soon.
Dace entered the medical bay as Brendel turned to leave.
How are you, Captain?
He laughed. Brendel stopped and looked confused for a moment. Dace lifted his comm unit and nodded his head towards his husband.
Good news travels fast, Captain.
The medical bay erupted with laughter. All of it was at Brendel's expense. His nervousness wasn't a deterrent in their eyes, he realized.
That was a sign that they had more the makings of a family than just a crew, he thought as he left the medical bay behind and headed for the bridge. He had a lot of work to do. Epilogue. Anki. The bridge of the replicade was dark when Anki stepped in, barefoot and shivering. Her heart ached with loss. But there was also something like a smoldering fire warming her up when she thought about Brendel and the spark between the two of them. He was not her kind, nor was she his, but deep down she knew they belonged together forever. It was the only thing she could believe in as she took a seat near the console and ran her fingers along the smooth glass screen. The technology of the replicade was beyond anything she had ever seen, despite its outward appearance, and a look of neglect as rust and grime caked the bulkheads. Anki could see the ship was designed for battle, but also designed with some aesthetics in mind. She could see it now, even feel it when she touched the contours. She imagined if the ship had a gender, it would be female, though she doubted the men on board would agree. As she ran her fingers along the screen, it began to illuminate. She found a circular button where the screen ended and felt the compulsion to press it, even though she had no idea what the outcome could be. Surely it isn't dangerous, she thought, her finger growing heavy as it hovered above. The button made an audible click when she pressed it, followed by nothing at first, and then a voice.
May I assist you, Anki?
The voice was feminine with a tinge of robotic cadence. It startled her at first, but she maintained her composure enough not to fall on her ass, at least. It was a rather impressive feat, considering she was still recovering from being exposed to the dark. Her near-death experience made her appreciate the fact that she was still breathing. It was more than she could say about the rest of Luthia, as far as she knew.
"Who are you?" she asked, fighting back the sound of fear threatening to reveal itself in her voice.
"I am Pilot, the artificial intelligence assigned to the replicate. I am your assistant, as per orders from Captain Brendel. How may I assist you?"
Awestruck, Anki stepped towards the console, looking for a way to see where the voice was coming from.
"Where are you?"
"I apologize. Do you require a visual stimulation in order to communicate?"
From the corner of her eye, Anki saw a hologram appear of a woman's face. There was only the face, nothing above or below. But the representation wasn't meant to fool the viewer that the person speaking to them was real. Anki stared for a moment, unsure of what to say.
"So your sole purpose is to fly the ship?"
She settled for an easy question, despite the harder ones already forming in her mind.
"Yes and no. I was designed to run the entire ship in order to assist the captain. The responsibility of assistance has shifted to you as per Captain Brendel's orders. I suppose you could say my job is to fly the ship and to assist you, the executive officer of the replicate. Do you require assistance?"
The position sounded much larger than she thought she could fill. Yet, here she was, on a ship as the second in command. She let out a chortle at the fact she was in charge of something she didn't even know how to control. Perhaps that was why Brendel assigned Pilot as her assistant.
"I'm not sure," she answered.
It was the truth. She didn't really know why she had found her way to the bridge.
"I'm just lonely, I guess, and wanted someone to talk to. But everyone else is sleeping."
"I can contact anyone you require, Anki.
Pilot said. Her gaze at the hologram dropped, and she blinked back tears.
Not this person, she said. My father was on Luthia when it was destroyed. Now I'll never hear his voice again.
I'm sorry for your loss,
Pilot replied.
Are you?
She asked in return.
It is the appropriate response for loss of life, is it not?
Anki smiled half-heartedly. She should have known a machine would only calculate probabilities for responses. It wasn't designed for empathy.
You're right, it is, she answered.
If you like, I can change my voice and appearance as a representation of your father, provided that you have an image of him and a recording of him speaking.
Part of Anki's mind wanted to explode at the thought of replacing her father with an artificial representation. But the other part wanted it to happen. If for no other reason than because she never got to say goodbye in the way she wanted to.
I have that on my comm unit.
If you place the device over the screen, then I can extract the data,
Pilot said. Anki pulled out her comm unit and turned it over in her hands. Inside it was memories of her life before she stepped foot on the ship that brought her out into the dark, before Luthia was engulfed in flames and destroyed. Those memories were all that was left of Luthia, and she set them on the console as Pilot instructed and waited. The console lit up with blue light, which was almost blinding in the darkness of the bridge. The holographic image of the pilot also changed, pixels collapsing and rebuilding themselves in the form of a full-bodied man, a Luthian man, her father. A moment later, Pilot spoke.
Does this image serve your memory, Anki?
She was shocked at how real her father's image appeared, and the voice had taken the same slight twang of her Serda roots. If she closed her eyes, then she could almost believe he wasn't dead. But that wouldn't help her heal any faster.
The resemblance is astonishing, she said.
Her father's voice answered, but it was not him.
I'm pleased you think so, Anki.
She sat and looked at the holographic version of her father. Even the eyes looked the same, though the ones she peered into were not windows to a soul that existed any longer. Over the course of time, that wouldn't matter. For now, all she had was her moment in order to say goodbye, as her future waited patiently for her to return from her personal memoriam. No words were exchanged, the silence spreading over long moments. Everything was internal for her. The heartache, the reminiscence, and the eulogy. Her father would be remembered, and for her that would have to be enough. Anki said goodbye in her own way as the replicate burned its way out into the dark void of space. Danger lurked somewhere in the cosmos, but she had seen what the Greshen Empire could throw at them. She also saw a side to them she never knew existed. Perhaps Brendel was an anomaly. But the truth was that he was growing on her. Despite everything, he showed her compassion. He risked his life for her. And actions like that spoke louder than words. She also noticed how he looked at her, a look of longing in his eyes.
Was it for acceptance or something more?
She wasn't ready for complications, but she was glad she hadn't shot him when given the opportunity. Everything was changing drastically,
and she hadn't had time to process it all. Maybe there was a future for them in one form or another. Time could only tell. But for now, she was content to lay back in her seat and let the replicade carry her out into the dark, and hopefully towards peace. You can find out more about this author and sign up for his newsletter at drewavery.com. That's DREWAVERA.com. This has been Broken Worlds, The Alorian Wars, Book 1. Written by Drew Avery, narrated by Rebecca Sternberg. Copyright 2016 by Drew Alexander Avery. Production copyright 2017 by Drew Alexander Avery.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.